announced by Gotham.
Okay, great. And I know we have Robert Brennanum on the call in Missouri. Robert, can you tell us a little bit about what you did in your first couple years and then how things progressed from there when you joined up with our group?
Sure. Good evening. This is Robert Brennanum out of Missouri. And prior to joining up with the Choice Roof Contractor Group, I was a Conklin contractor. And we were looking for ways to improve our marketing strategies. We had done some things. One of the things that we had done is we attempted to use a telemarketer to produce some leads, and we found that to be effective in the sense that it put us in front of a lot of people. But what we found from those was that in classic telemarketing style, it seemed like the reason that we were getting in front of people was they would agree to allow us to come out and look at their roof to get the telemarketer off the phone, and they may or may not have been interested in an actual roof. In 2014, we got with Jonathan. We initially, in March, mailed out 5,000 flyers, followed up with 3 weeks later, another 5,000 to the direct of the same list. And I honestly don't have the exact numbers as far as the dollar amount of contracts and how soon we started to get phone calls and how many calls we got off of those, but I will say that from 2013 to 14, our gross sales quadrupled. And what we found with the direct mail was that if someone was getting our flyer in the mail and they would take the time to pick up the phone and give us a call, this was a person who was very serious about having their roof taken care of by us. And so we found the direct mailing to be much more effective in getting a person who was serious about having their roof taken care of.
Right. Yeah, and the other thing I really like about it is that you don't need a referral for someone to be interested in your service. If they're going to call off a flyer and they never heard of your company before, they're willing to work with you, which can be, you know, really important for people just starting out. Now, obviously, there are some people on the call that have probably done direct mail and it didn't go quite as well. Is there anybody on the call that would like to chime in? If your line's not unmuted, you can do so by clicking *6. Because I'd also like to, you know, take a look at that. Because, I mean, getting good results on this, and we're not just going to talk about direct mail all night, just so everybody knows. But if someone wants to share maybe some of the bad experiences they've had and why they think that might be, you know, obviously I'd like to hear other thoughts as well.
Jonathan, this is Sam again.
Yeah.
I want to just give one experience on that that I had with the mailer. And one of them was about, this was in 2012, I sent out another set of mailers, about 5,000. And for some unknown reason, I have no idea why, we got 3 calls off that mailer. But we had one, we went out and bid 3 roofs, we closed 2 of them. But the one that was the real money maker, it took about 12 months to close it, but it was over 100,000 square foot foam roof over metal in Jamestown, North Dakota. But that roof in itself was an X, you know, as far as volume goes, more than paid for that mailer. So sometimes we might not get as many calls, but we get quality calls. And if you do your follow-up, it took me 12 months to close this roof, but I got the roof because we simply just followed up and stayed in touch with the people. So that, I just wanted to share that
Right.
experience.
Well, yeah, and that's the other thing to keep in mind, too, the amount of profit. Before the call, I went online just to look for some reviews, and then I've also talked to some of our contractors. One of the best that I found, someone did a Conklin metal roof restoration job, prolonging the life of an existing metal roof, and they completed it in 2.5 weeks with three guys and walked away with $55,000 of profit. And, you know, that's just one roof. And the other thing is, you know, people have to keep in mind the mailers is a great way to initiate relationships. You know, I've heard people send out a mailer, told them to keep it in their file, and actually at the convention 2 weeks ago, there was a guy who told me he got a call 7 years later. You know, people hold on to those if you put the right language in the flyer itself. But let's talk about some of the other strategies. Does anybody want to talk about cold calling? Maybe some tips there on what really makes it effective, because, you know, a lot of time can be wrapped up in that.
You know, Jonathan, this is Ann, and I've done some roofing marketing with some guys in the Midwest and also a little bit up north, too. And it kind of goes back to what Roger was talking about with tall marketing. That's one thing I have heard from roofing contractors sometimes there. But a lot of times, the two-step exam, maybe you might be able to offer some examples here, but when you're meeting some people in person, it's important to make a powerful impression. And with these building owners, a lot of the time, they don't have the expertise that a roofing contractor has with regards to roofing knowledge and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one thing that people have to overcome when they're talking to a building owner about doing their roof. And another thing, too, is when you're talking to a building owner, they haven't seen the work you've done in the past either. I mean, they've not actually been with you side-by-side as you're doing the work. That's another obstacle you have to overcome. So I really think just from what I've heard, when you're talking to guys, you actually get appointments with building owners, and there is a slight chance of there being chances for a prospect, maybe for a job. Then establishing that relationship and establishing that sense of professionalism that you can actually take care of their needs, not only there in the moment, but also in the future, too, that that's important. And so, go ahead, Tim, sorry.
I just want to insert something real quick here, Ian, that's very important you touched on. One of the key things that has helped me in closing sales, I believe this from the bottom of my heart, is quickly, if you know a building owner, quickly find out who he knows and what he knows about somebody. And if you can touch that, if you can touch two companies together, let's say you did a roof in a similar, in the town, you're just asking, hey, do you know this guy? And he'll say, yeah, I know who he is. I said, well, we just did a roof down the road here last year for this. Him, he's very happy, no lease. And you're free to call him. Just make contact like that, and it adds to that professionalism that Ian is talking about.
Interesting, Sam. And same with from your own personal experience, maybe Robert, if you had some thoughts on this too, just in your own experience or maybe from others, what have you guys seen when you go in and you have some professional marketing materials? So whether it's actually the point where you guys are turning in a bid and that bid looks very professional, whether perhaps it's just a very professional looking brochure or just something with a nice personal customized touch that really makes your company look really good, and show that you are a valuable player. What do you guys have any testimonials of perhaps how that has impacted your sales process with some of these guys?
Yeah, we always try to bring in a sample of whatever roof that we're talking to them about, and show them exactly the steps and processes, as well as I do like what you said, Sam. Mentioning someone down the street or someone within that same town that you've done work for, that can be kind of a point of reference for you. Going with what Ian said as far as that professional appearance, you know, one of the things that we noticed is around the same time that we had the mailing done, just prior to that, we had our website established. And one of the things that we did with that is we got our Better Business Bureau rating, got that link to the website, and it was pretty interesting to see after the flyers went out, the Better Business Bureau, as well as the just the reports that we were getting from our website, and the amount of people that it was driving to our website, you know, having that list out as well. So much of the business is done online these days. It seemed like we were getting, even Better Business Bureau made the comment that they were surprised at the number of hits or searches they had through their system for us. And so I thought that was pretty neat and interesting to see just the amount of traffic that we saw growth to that. And we did have more of our leads came in locally directly off of our website. It was a significant, so the utility company has a significant size contract. And they strictly found us based upon our website and requested we come out based upon what our website said that we could do and handle.
Another thing I wanted to see if we could bring in, and then we'll talk about some of the strategies that have not worked out very well or have been inconsistent, because obviously marketing is the lifeblood of growth, and you know, if it's not properly allocated. In fact, I was talking to a contractor, and you know, we were just discussing that even Walmart and Apple, you know, these big companies, they all have marketing budgets. They have starting and stopping endpoints of how much they're willing to spend, and it's not always about how much you spend as it is how you spend it. But I wanted to see if someone could share a little bit more about social media. If Rufus is on the call, I think he'd be a great candidate for this. You know, combining a great website that's well optimized and then connecting it with social media to get the word out there and then also rank up higher in search engines, which of course also translate into more calls off your website. Rufus, were you able to join us tonight on the call? Yes, yes I can.
Okay, what was that question again?
Oh, well, I was just hoping you could share a little bit about, like, the social media that you've been doing and how that's helped you. Like, tying things back to your website.
Well, one thing that I've noticed since I have my website, Street Choice Roof, I've been able to close on a roof by using that website just over the phone, talking with the building owner, like I explained to you, National Convention there. What it was, he gave me a call, and he kind of gave me a rundown of what he had as far as what his problems were and what he was experiencing with his roof. So, anyway, he went on to explain what type of roof he had, and then I kind of gave him a recommendation of what I would recommend him to use for what we would do to, you know, fix this problem. So, anyway, what I did is I led him to my website, and he got in front of the computer, searched it, looked at all the different systems that we had, and therefore made a decision on what type of roof he wanted. And so when I met him for the first time, wrote out a contract, and within 15 minutes of signing a contract and a check, we're heading down the road again.
You know, that's
so
awesome.
As far as that, it worked really, really good. You know, and then also advertising, you know, like on the social media site, we've definitely got some hits off of that. You know, nothing really major yet, but I believe there's, you know, if we continue doing it, it's going to definitely be good. So.
Right. Totally. Well, I guess, you know, one thing that I'd also like to emphasize on this call, you know, by us bringing together commercial roofing contractors all over the country, we're able to not only share, you know,
Your line is now unmuted.
So, I'm not sure if you guys are getting that feedback, but I think it's gone. What I was going to go into is just to say that, by bringing together, you know, these commercial roofing contractors, veterans, and the new people starting out, we're able to discuss these strategies. And like with the mailers, through our partner Top Roof Marketing, they've done over 250,000 pieces just in the first half of last year. You know, so we truly know what works best. We ask our clients, you know, what's getting the most calls, and by optimizing those campaigns, we're seeing consistent results across the board in different locations of the country. But I don't know if you'd like to chime in here, Sam, obviously as one of the co-founders of Choice Roof Contractor Group. a lot of the ideas and the different things that we've been able to benefit from have come from you, so I'd love to hear your thoughts. Are you still with us, Sam? Sam's out in North Dakota, so the reception's pretty spotty. We may have lost him, but just to kind of give a basic overview, our endorsed contractor members are able to benefit from a lifetime service guarantee from us, backed by a nationwide group of contractors. That's another thing, you know, part of the marketing process, making you, you know, the most solid choice gets you the job. And we've seen contractors get a significant more dollar amount per square foot on their projects simply because they had that extra credibility and our support behind them. But let's talk about some of the different things that might not have been as effective, or maybe during the sales process, things that were done that cost a job. If anybody has anything to share, things to look out for.
Jonathan, this is Robert Brenneman again.
Okay, great.
I had a roof this year that I went out and looked at it, and I didn't close the sale. I was staying in touch with this guy, and I was good friends of mine, another guy that's a competent roofer in the area. I also saw on his social media site, saw a picture of him completing this roof, and so I kind of called him and said, "Hey," I said, "I see you got that roof," and I kind of mentioned that I had bid on it, and I asked him what type of system they ended up applying, and they were doing a full fabric system, full fabric over plywood or ply system, and you know, the funny thing is when I spoke with this gentleman, what he had, it was a small, real small roof, but he had a TPO roof that was failing, and we really needed to tear it out completely and start over, and I didn't ask him the correct questions. I kind of took that and said, okay, well, here's what I believe is the best system, and I kind of bid a Flexion system. Well, due to the fact that he had had a TPO system, which is similar to a Flexion, that had failed, he wasn't interested. While he thought it looked like a great system, ultimately, when my competitor went in there and talked with him some more and found out that he really wasn't interested in that type of a system, he asked the correct questions, and I failed to do that. He ended up closing that sale rather than myself, and I really kind of poked me a little bit, but it made me realize that I had failed to ask maybe what type of a system he was interested in. I just kind of assumed that I could recommend what I thought was the best system for him, and I failed to ask the correct questions, and in that lost that project. And so one of the things I've done is I will definitely recommend, you know, hey, this is my number one choice, but trying to figure out, like Rufus said, just kind of showing them the different systems and saying, hey, what system really stands out to you and why? And so learning to ask not only good questions, but maybe better questions and more questions when you're out and about and chatting with these building owners.
Awesome. Yeah, obviously it's not just about getting these leads, but closing on them. And, you know, we've got several demonstrations that we use depending on the type of roof. That can be very powerful and you know, making that memorable impression. But are there any other thoughts out there, things that people would like to share they've learned maybe the hard way? If your line is muted, you can unmute yourself by clicking star 6.
Jonathan, am I on?
Yes, you are.
Okay, this is Shrocky from Montana.
Awesome.
Enjoyed listening in on all the comments and everything. As far as something that hasn't worked very well, one of the things that I've done, I think, in the 5 years that I've been in business, I've probably taken a few roofs on that I shouldn't have. I just because, you know, I looked at the bigger picture of a bigger roof, and, you know, if I could maybe do a patch or something, you know, to, and I'm not against doing patches, but I had this one roof where they really needed it was a huge building, they really needed a complete job, you know, either a single ply or a full fabric, you know, and would have been a beautiful job to have. And the guy was like, well, I don't want to spend, you know, a lot of money on the roof. I want to spend money on buying some new machinery that I need. That's what makes me money. The roof doesn't make me any money. And so he kind of sweet talked me into doing a patch job for him. And I said, well, I don't think it's going to work. I said, I won't give you a warranty. But he said, well, you know, he's not going to do the good right now. He doesn't want to spend the money. And so I went ahead and said, okay, if you don't need a warranty, I will make an attempt. And anyway, we made an attempt, and it happened exactly like I thought it would, and it didn't hold because the water came in above and then came in underneath our product, and so it was kind of a valley, and it just didn't work. So the next year, he said, well, it didn't work, and I said, well, I didn't really think it would, but and he said, well, surely you can do better than that, and so I came back and worked on it again. With no extra money to try to gain his confidence, and did a little bit different type of thing. Still, I knew it wasn't right. Well, anyway, long story short, I checked back with him last year. He said, nope, it didn't work. And I think probably my chances of ever working for the guy is probably gone. And I just said, hey, you know, sorry about that. You really need a new roof. Well, I'm not going to do that. Anyway, he had another guy come in and do some TPO. Well, the thing about a TPO is that the water still comes in underneath it, but it doesn't do like a coating. So even though he's still got leaks, he thinks it's a better job. So anyway, I guess what I'm saying is it kind of taught me a lesson that if a guy isn't ready to look at the problem and do it right, and then I'm going to be more apt to say, you know what, no, I can't do that. I don't want to put my name on that because that's not the correct way to fix it. And stand by it and go on to another roof versus, you know, trying to make an attempt at something that I kind of know pretty much isn't going to work. So I thought I'd just throw that out there. Another thing, in response to Ian, what he mentioned about having a very professional brochure or your proposal that you come out with, you know, one thing that I've discovered in the last 5 years is that a lot of people that you talk to about roofs, even though they own the building and they know a lot about the building, but maybe not as much about the roof, is that they really don't understand what you're saying. So by spelling out in very clear, simple form, with pictures of what the roof looks like, and then just going through step by step, and they'll say how we're going to fix this roof. You know, we're going to, you know, do this. We're going to power wash. We're going to, you know, next thing we're going to do is we're going to caulk, and then we're going to repair bad holes. We're going to take care of moisture problems. You know, I'll cut those out and put new ISO into, you know, just very, very basic all the way through. And I've discovered that a lot of times when I go through that presentation slowly, not in a hurry, you know, through the presentation, stop, pause, look at them, and say, do you have any questions so far? And then if they do, then take care of that before they have four or five things that are starting confusing them. So that's been very powerful. A lot of times when people didn't buy that roof, they would make comments like, wow, that's a very neat brochure you have, very neat proposal, and very detailed, and you explained it very well. And we really like it. We just don't have it in our budget or whatever. So that whenever I left a sale that I didn't make, I always felt like, you know, I had them. You know, it wasn't over with. Talk about maybe next year or 2 years down the road because of it, you know, being professional and everything, that I didn't lose the guy. So, and we have indeed come back, you know, next year, 2 years later, 3 years later, to pick up some of those roofs just because, you know, we presented very well, like Ian was talking about.
Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing all those thoughts. That's really good. Sam, did you dial back in? Well, it looks like he's still off. One thing I wanted to talk about was the Rift System strain that we have coming up. Whenever new guys want to come on board, obviously Conklin is a core part of what we're doing. Because of the way that we're structured, all of our contractors' success translates back to us, which is why we do so much for our contractors in terms of, you know, the occasional free leads and the marketing support, the mentorship. You know, Sam has flown all over the country in the last year helping our guys get started, do their roofs correctly. And the next one is February 18. It's been sold out for a long time. If you aren't already on your way there, the next one would be March 12th. And I want to emphasize that it's not your typical product training. Obviously, the Conklin side, they go through all the different steps. This one will be focused on metal roof restoration, which is by far the easiest and best way to get into commercial. There's all kinds of different reasons for that, which is on our website. But after the training, we take out all of our contractors to the Hereford Steakhouse. We treat them well. We go to a private room, and there our veteran contractors like Simon Lee, Sam Hostetler, Andrew Yutzi, his father Lester, who's been doing this for over 28 years, they share the trade secrets and the different things that they've developed, and they've put together a roadmap for all of our contractors to have even afterwards, you know, to review later, make sure they're on track. The next one would be March 12th. It starts at 8 in the morning, goes until 4 o'clock. It's extremely extensive. We do have some interviews and reviews posted online, different contractors that came out expecting a training and found something totally different. Because obviously with the training, while that's extremely important that you know your product and you know how to install it correctly, the training on its own does not make you successful. You also need to know how to get the jobs and set up shop and do your business correctly. You know, make sure that you can be in the game for the long haul and land large commercial roofing projects consistently. So at any time, I think we've got about 15 spots left for that one, and they will not last forever. Just give us a call. Unless anyone has something else to add, I think that pretty much wraps up this call. Oh, I guess one thing that I would like to mention, when someone registers to go through the roof systems training, makes that strong commitment, because that's one of our requirements. You know, we want to meet all of our contractors personally before they become a supported member or an endorsed contractor. But we would start at that very moment helping them put together their stuff. Like Willie Schrock, he mentioned the importance of pictures. We actually have over 1,000 pictures that we send to all of our members that they can use to illustrate, you know, all the different systems, how different things get done, and you know, that's just something that someone without this group, you know, wouldn't have elsewise. So, unless there's anything else, I think we'll close out the call. All right. Well, I hope everybody has a terrific evening, and feel free to reach out if you ever have any more questions. Thank you very much.